Faith can be a difficult thing. It's hard to describe your faith to someone else. What you believe, what you experience, what you feel about your faith. Faith is referred to in the book of Hebrews as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is an apt description. Often my faith is these moments of things that happen inside of me, realizations that I come to, feelings that I get, moments of conscience and awakening that only I can notice because they happen within me. And it's hard to convey that to someone else when I'm trying to share my faith, a feeling I had, a tingle that ran down my spine, a warm breath that rose within me. They might nod along as I describe these things and say, ah, yes, I see. But they don't see. It's one of the reasons that the Bible holds such a prestigious place in our faith. This book, this tome of letters and writings from 2 and 3 millennia ago is a real thing. It is a physical presence of God that I can show to someone. They can touch it. They can see it. They can hold it. I can give it to them and they can carry it. God forbid they can open it and read it. To some of the younger people, you have to explain to them that it's not a Kindle. They have to turn the pages on their own. The Word of God made present in our lives, made flesh, as it were. This particular one's bound in leather. So literally, in flesh. It's not my flesh, it's some cow's flesh, but still. And I show this to them and I say, here, this is my faith, because it's a real tangible thing. Because of that, we lean on this. We rely on it. We trust in it. We defend it. We promote it. This is invaluable. The ability to read the same passages and writings that Christians have read for almost 2,000 years, these words of wisdom and faith, first recorded by the Hebrew people for 1,000 years and then added to by early Christian leaders and preachers and theologians, later gathered into one collection by bishops and priests and scholars. It took them over 100 years to piece it together. Do you know why we call it the Bible? The word comes from Latin. The word's Biblia. And it's actually the same root of the word bibliography. When you're reading a book by somebody and you get to the back and you find their bibliography, it's a list of all the books that either influenced them or that they included in their writing. This is a lot like that. This is not a single book. Biblia means in Latin the books. This is a collection of books, of writings that were gathered together. Literally, these are the books of our faith. These pages tell our story, the story of God with God's people, the journey that we have been on, the mistakes we have made, the wrong turns we have taken, the sins we have committed, and God's response to each moment. God's divine presence, guiding and correcting and blessing and saving. This is our faith in a nutshell. It is here that we find love. Literally, this book tells us God is love. And when we said, That's amazing. Can you prove it? The book says, yes, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. This is where we find hope. That this world with greed and hate and its hurt and disappointment is not the last word on humanity, because this book says there's a new heaven and a new earth. And this book says that God's kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. It is here that we find forgiveness. The woman at the well, the tax collector up the tree, the blind and the lame made whole. Cast the first stone, forgiveness. Do unto others forgiveness. They know not what they do, forgiveness. This book encapsulates our faith in a covered, bound, arranged edition. So what should we do with it? I came to game night last night here at the church. Had a lot of fun, ate a lot of peanuts. The Stokes girl, not the, the Mike's girls like peanuts. They were sharing them with me. Having a good time. I was talking to Scott Stokes for a little bit. I mentioned I'd been at a wedding up in Leavenworth at 5 o'clock, and then I raced down to the game night. I told him while I was driving up to Leavenworth, I was on Highway 92, which is this little two-lane highway up in the northwest there. And I was in a hurry. I was traveling, let's say, above what the posted speed limit might say, when a car that was coming towards me flashed his lights. I quickly decelerated. Sure enough, around the next corner, there sat a very friendly county sheriff back off the road, just waiting to meet new people. But I was doing the speed limit. I drove on. Caden, 13-year-old Caden Stokes, is standing there, and he's confused. Why'd the guy flash his lights? And Scott's like, oh, well, that's a thing. If you're driving and somebody flashes their lights, it means there might be a police officer up ahead with a speed gun. Might be a speed trap that you're driving into. And I realized very quickly, you know, Caden's 13. In a couple years, Caden's going to be driving. So very quickly I added, but don't speed. To which Caden responded, says the guy that was speeding. Yeah. Yeah, do as I say, not as I do. It's kind of funny. It's that idea of the difference between the spirit of the law and the word of the law. We try to figure out what the spirit of a law is. We do this all the time, right? Whether or not, what is a law's intent? What is it trying to do? What is its purpose? Is it right? Is it just? Is it fair? You know what? I shouldn't speed. Absolutely. There is a speed limit. I should not drive above it. I was in a hurry and I ignored that. And that was completely wrong on my part. I shouldn't cross the street right here. I should walk half a block down to the crosswalk because that's where you're supposed to cross. But this is the store that I'm going to and it's right here. You know, I should pay my taxes. I don't like doing it. I don't agree with all of them, but I should. We debate the same type of thing with the Bible often. This written form of our faith, we look at as God's rules, as God's commandments, as God's law, God's words for our life, God's direction and guidance for God's people. But you know, some of the laws are a little weird. Some of them are a little old-fashioned. Some of them are outdated, and we don't follow all of them. This book will tell you in no uncertain terms, in Leviticus 11, 9, and 10, that you should not eat shellfish. It says you shall regard them as detestable. You shall not eat any of their flesh. You shall detest their carcasses. Okay. But all you can eat shrimp night is delicious. Whoever wrote that verse had never had 3 pounds of peel and eat with cocktail sauce, is all I'm saying. This book tells me not to wear clothing made from two different fabrics. So no poly cotton blends. Leviticus 19:19, do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. This is going to deeply impact my closet. I will not be able to wear any of my suits. Exodus 31:5, whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. This is going to be a problem. Because many of you think this is the only day I work. And it clearly tells me not to. We look at these scriptures and we shrug. We say it was a different time, it was a different culture, a different way of doing things. Those are not the rules for today. We understand in those cases the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law was God was trying to keep us safe. Bad shellfish can kill you. This was in a time of no refrigeration. This was in a time when fish sat out all day at the market. You do that with shrimp, you'll kill somebody. You'll kill a lot of somebodies. I get that. You shouldn't work on the Sabbath. You should take one day during your week and simply be with God. Absolutely. I can understand that. I don't know about the clothing one. I can't explain that to you. That's just odd. It just is. What it's about is about setting yourself apart as different and holy. That's what it comes from. Only making your clothing from one cloth. But we look at this book and we understand those things. But then we look at this book later and we seem to forget the idea of the spirit of the law. What is God trying to say? What is God trying to do? Here we have this amazing thing, a physical manifestation of our faith in readable, understandable form. But if we're being honest, it has not always been a blessing. There are kindred brothers and sisters of ours who have taken this book and fashioned it into a weapon, using it to hurt people, to push people away, to drive people off. They have selectively picked and chosen words from this book and sharpened them into barbs and spears to inflict pain and heartache. And we have seen this and we have allowed this for far too long. Afraid that we don't understand the book well enough to interject. Afraid that we haven't read or studied this book enough to intervene. And so we have let this book be turned into a weapon of mass distraction. And our faith is poorer for it. And then we read this morning. This is the covenant that I will make, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer shall they say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. God's law, God's direction for us, God's guidance is referenced and detailed in this book, but it's found in God's people. I will put my law within them. Quit looking to these ancient words and listen to your heart for a moment. Listen to your spirit. God has placed God's law within you. God has written it right on your heart. You know what is right. You can feel it when things are going off the rails, when things are wrong. You don't need these words to be just right, to figure out what to do. Stand up for the outcast. Welcome the immigrant. Love your enemy. God's law is here. Believe in it. Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy tells us all Scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching and reproof and correction and training and righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God might be proficient, equipped for every good work. Do you want to know what the litmus test for God's Word is? Equipped for every good work. If you're not using God's law for good work, you're using God's law incorrectly. That is our litmus test, the good work. It says that all Scripture is inspired. You know what the word inspired comes from Latin as well? It means to breathe into, literally, spirit within. God's law is breathed into life by God's breath. God breathes His Spirit into these words, but He breathes His law into our hearts. Not that we would focus on each word and each verse, but that we would find the Spirit of God living in these pages and take that upon ourselves to do that good work. That reading this book and studying this book and using this book would open us to God's Spirit, and that would guide us, shape us, form us as the people of God. Don't mishear me on this. I love this book. I truly do. This particular old Bible was given to me when I first went to seminary. It was a gift from a pastor's wife of a pastor that I had known and loved and respected. He actually performed Jackie and I's marriage, our wedding ceremony. When he passed away from cancer, right before I went to seminary, she gave me this Bible. She said this wasn't his best Bible. It wasn't his most expensive Bible. She goes, this was the Bible he used every day as a pastor. And she goes, I just feel it should go to a pastor. And so I've carried this book with me on my journey for the last 20 years. And it's a little ragged around the edges. The cover's tearing off back here. And I've written on a lot of pages and scratched things and put things in the margins. But it's there every day. When we use this tool of faith as a light to show us the way, as a friend to walk with us, as a repository of grace and hope and love, then it is the companion we need as Christians. When we use it as a weapon, as a repellent, as a locked fence to keep others out, we lose sight of the true law of God, the law written on our hearts within each of us, breathed into us by God. God is love. I hope this week that you'll pick up your Bible. Just touch it. I have to admit, in this technological age, I often Google my Scripture when I'm writing my sermon during the week, so it's all on my keyboard and my screen. And every once in a while, though, I like to pick this book up and just touch it. I can't touch the words on my screen very easily, but here I can literally feel it and see it and read it. My hope this week is that you'll pick your Bible up and just open it for a moment. Read some of the words for just a minute. If you open it in the middle, you'll fall into the Psalms. That's a good place to fall. Read some of those words for just a moment. Breathe in this Spirit. Maybe even show what you've read to another, able to show them a tangible, actual piece of our faith together. And then take the Spirit breathed here and breathed here into you as you go forth as the living presence of God's Word to this world, that all may know God. Amen.